Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio, I'm Kathleen Maloney. President Donald Trump has signed executive orders focusing on illegal immigration, including an often repeated campaign promise.
The Secretary of Homeland Security, working with myself and my staff, will begin immediate construction of a border wall.
And the president still contends Mexico will pay for that wall, even though the president of Mexico says that won't happen.
In President Trump's first interview, he told ABC News,
I think he has to say that. He has to say that. But I'm just telling you, there will be a payment. It will be in a form, perhaps a complicated form. And you have to understand, what I'm doing is good for the United States. It's also going to be good for Mexico.
Good for the U.S. and Mexico, the president said, because it will dissuade thousands of Central American migrants from entering Mexico bound for the U.S. and put a substantial dent in cross-border drug traffic.
Fox's John Roberts, a senior Mexican official, says President Enrique Peña Nieto is now considering canceling his visit to Washington next week. He's facing increasing criticism in Mexico that his reaction to President Trump's tough border and immigration stance is too weak. A beloved actress and comedian has passed away.
Now that it's over, I don't feel bad as I thought I was going to. In fact, I feel pretty good. I really do. And I owe it all to you.
Mary Tyler Moore on the finale of her 1970s TV sitcom. She got her start on The Dick Van Dyke Show and won 7 Emmy Awards during her career. Ellen DeGeneres tweeting that Moore changed the world for women. She was 80 years old. A record-setting day on Wall Street. The Dow has closed above 20,000 for the first time, climbing 155 points. S&P gained 18, NASDAQ up 55. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
A military show of strength over Japan causes concern.
Multiple U.S. defense officials tell Fox two Russian Tu-95 Bear bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons circumnavigated Japan on Tuesday. The Japanese military scrambled fighter jets to intercept the flight in response. NORAD, which safeguards the skies in North America, placed a tanker crew on standby in an increased threat posture. News of this latest Russian provocation comes minutes after the Pentagon announced new Defense Secretary James Mattis would make his first visit overseas to Japan and South Korea early next month. It's the first time Russian bombers have flown around Japan in a year. It is not immediately clear if the Russian bombers were armed. At the Pentagon, Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News.
Georgia's governor toured areas of the state devastated by weekend tornadoes and thunderstorms. 20 people were killed in the South. Crews are still searching for a missing toddler. After a decisive confirmation vote, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is sworn in as America's top diplomat by Vice President Pence.
The vice president praised Haley's work in her previous role as governor.
The people of South Carolina have placed great faith in you, and you repaid them with a record of extraordinary success, which has created prosperity and opportunity.
Haley takes her place at the UN with clear stances on world issues, including a proposed move of the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. She also says Russia is not to be trusted, a firmer tone than from her boss, President Trump. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Robots on wheels could soon be rolling down Virginia sidewalks to deliver meals, groceries, and packages. Pending legislation would make the state the first in the nation to regulate those devices. Virginia is partnering with European company Starship Technologies in testing the robot delivery service. I'm Kathleen Maloney, Fox News Radio.
Aaron McCready.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be with you. Boy, we got a lot to talk about. And I'll be honest with you, when Trump got elected, and this is our first show since Trump has got elected as president, and we took a little bit of time off after the election, and here we are hitting it hard and heavy after the inauguration. But, you know, I really wondered if we would have a lot to talk about. You know, we have a Republican administration. We have a Republican House and a Republican Congress. So I'm like, you know what? It's going to be pretty boring. And boy, has the left proved me wrong. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. Later on in the show, we're going to have Washington Times, Dr. Larry Fedewa. He's going to talk about the future of the Trump administration, some things going on with the Women's March, a wealth of knowledge. Again, that will be later on in the show with Dr. Larry Fedewa, a Washington Times columnist. But I want to say congratulations first and foremost to the Atlanta Falcons making it to the Super Bowl here in my new adopted city, Houston, Texas. Most of you know how there that I lived in Atlanta for a number of years, and the show started in Atlanta. So I have great admiration for the Falcons, Braves, and the Hawks. So I'm thrilled to death that they finally are in a Super Bowl once again. And even better, it's here in Houston, Texas. So to all of my Georgia fans and friends and people that I've known for a long time, come on down to Houston, and we'll make it a big deal, and we'll root on those Falcons together. Also, I just want to send my condolences. Also, Mary Tyler Moore died today. She was 80 years old, comedy legend. So, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to her friends, her family, and also her millions of fans around the world. So, again, my condolences to Mary Tyler Moore. But you know what? One thing that has really been driving me crazy over the past few days, and really since the election, is the left-wing media, the left-wing members of the United States. You know, usually there's a honeymoon period after the president gets elected. Certainly Barack Obama enjoyed that. George W. Bush enjoyed that. Bill Clinton enjoyed that. Presidents since George Washington enjoyed that. But what has happened with America? No more than 30 minutes after President Trump got sworn into office, there were rioters, there were protesters burning a man's limousine and throwing rocks through windows. And now some of the businesses that these protesters that were protesting the Trump administration, they were throwing their windows through Bank of America, through places like Starbucks. Those companies are some of the most liberal companies, the same companies that support the cause that they say that they support. They're destroying those businesses. Makes absolutely zero sense. And then this man that had the limousine that was burnt up to smithereens, He only had two employees, him, himself, and another person. The other person got injured. And that man's limousine, a total loss. He said over $100,000 in damages just to that one vehicle. That's the only limo he had. He was an immigrant, and that's how he was making his money. But yet the left wing, and not all people of the left wing are like this. Not all Democrats are like this, I know. But the people who said that they opposed Trump do this to people, do this to businesses. They say they're all inclusive. They want to be full of love and admiration and inclusiveness. Really? It seems like you just want to be full of love, inclusiveness, and peace only when it benefits you, only when it's convenient for you. You know, those people that died for our freedoms, especially in the Revolutionary War, what would they say now? Look at America. We're more divided than ever. And it's time men and women put their big boy and big girl pants on and decide to help one another. The man wasn't even president for a half an hour. And look what people did. You know, where were those people during the election? I bet most of them didn't vote. And you said, oh, Aaron, where do you get those, whatever. I'm not a journalist. I'm an analyst. I'm analyzing. You know, if you don't believe me, if you don't think I'm telling the truth, go fact check me. Guarantee you will be surprised. It's just so aggravating. And then we have the folks, and I've been on this network before, MSNBC. They are calling Trump Hitler-esque, his speech Hitler-esque. Really? Hitler-esque. Let me see here. Did Donald Trump annihilate and throw in ovens and incinerate 5.9 million Jews? You're going to compare an American president to Hitler, who killed 5.9 million people, because you don't like that his healthcare stance. You don't like that he wants to protect the country with borders. So you're going to compare him to a man that murdered and killed and tortured 5.9 million people in concentration camps in World War II. Makes absolutely zero sense. If you want to call me, take me on, call in. 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow me on Twitter at Aaron McCready. Visit me on the web, aaronmccready.com. There, we got out of the way. Makes zero sense to me how this is going on. And here we go. I may get hate mail on this one. Go ahead, send it. You feminists out there want to have these women marches, which that's fine. It's your right. Go ahead. If you want to look stupid, go ahead. You're just showing your true colors. And here in a minute, I'm going to play a clip. And if you have people under 18 years old that can't vote, I would suggest here in a minute you pull them away from the mic or from the speaker. But it's very important I point this out, what these protesters are all about. Half the women, I don't even say half the women, I say two-thirds of women at least, aren't involved in politics. They just think it's a cool thing to do because, it's so cool to oppose Trump. You know, and stepping back for a minute before I get too far ahead of myself, back to the Hitler comment. Do I need to remind the Democrats that it was the Democratic Party also that in World War II incarcerated United States citizens just because of their race. Look it up. Very famous. Franklin Roosevelt sent American citizens to prison by executive order because they were Japanese. That is a 100% fact. Look it up. That was the Democratic Party. The party of inclusiveness, respect. And you want to call the Republicans and the Republican president, his speech, Hitler-esque? Really? I was listening to a talk radio show earlier today. I can't remember which one it was. I listened to them so much. It was around lunchtime. And, you know, which is true. They said that some Democrats even tried to claim Abraham Lincoln as one of their own because he freed the slaves. Correction, he's a Republican. You know, if JFK was president today, he has Republican ideas and values. Where has the Democratic Party gone? The Democratic Party, also the one that's mainly in back in segregation, supported the KKK. The Republican Party opposed it, fought against it. But yet the Republican president's Hitler-esque. Whatever. Anyways, back to this stupid women's march. Yes, I called it stupid. What were they marching for? Women's equality? Women's rights? The right for a woman to choose what she can do with her own body because of health care? Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about women's health care. People don't want to have control over your body. You don't see people going around saying, you know what, you better not get that cosmetic surgery. That's going to be illegal. You better not get that boob job. You better not get that facelift. You better not get that tummy tuck. You might not get that liposuction. You don't see people going around and saying, oh, don't get that pap smear. Don't get those checkups. Don't get those breast exams for breast cancer. You don't hear people saying that. Come on, give me a break. What women's health care, the right to women's health care and the right to your body boils down to is the right to abortion, the right to kill a baby, the right to murder someone else. That's what it boils down to. And I'll tell you something else. These feminists are so into to the, you know, female, protecting female. Okay, how about the female baby that's in the body? You going to destroy that? Come on, really? But I'm going to tell you how crazy these people are. Ashley Judd, actress Ashley Judd, B actress at best, not very good. This is what she had to say. And it's going to be about a minute long. If you here's about a 5-10 second warning. If you have any kids around, make sure you get them away from the speaker. They don't need to hear this. But it goes to show you how these people at these women marches think. Listen to this.
So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets, we don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair?
Really? Can't you just sense the craziness in her voice? Oh, gosh. That's who was at that, those women marches. Didn't you hear them cheering? Absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And then look at them on Facebook. Do you have friends on Facebook that went to these women marches or support them? Don't they seem a little kooky and crazy? Calling Trump supporters uneducated. Calling all the people that voted for the next president uneducated and idiots and morons because they don't share the same view. But yet these same people that call Trump supporters morons and idiots, Faith Goldie from RebelMedia.com went out and spoke to some of these women. And let me tell you what she did. So we all know Bill Clinton, he's a Democrat. He was president of the United States. Everyone knows that. Well, you know the women that brought those allegations against Bill Clinton? Well, what she did, she used those same women's names but switched Bill Clinton with Donald Trump. And so put that same situation from back in the 90s to present day and ask those women about it. These women have no idea what in the world they're talking about. Just take a listen to this. You'll know what I'm saying. Just take a listen. It's hilarious.
A lot of them are out here protesting about they want to see decency in the White House. They're fighting against things like rape culture. So I thought I'd ask them about a little woman that you might have heard of, Juanita Broderick. She's a woman who says that President Bill Clinton raped her back in the 1970s and that she was threatened by Hillary Clinton. Except I did a little something different. I said that her allegations were against Donald Trump. And this is what folks had to say. Juanita Broderick, you probably already know, this is a woman who has said that President Trump raped her back in the 70s. Amazing. You know, and I'm wondering if it's time we start believing all victims and maybe see this man convicted, impeached even.
I just think there's so many problems with all of that statement. Like the fact that we even have a president in office where something like this is surrounding his reputation. For anyone else, this would be over. Like it's unbelievable. I guess it's just what money can buy and a slick word can do.
You know, there's a woman named Juanita Broderick who has accused President Trump of rape dating back to the 70s. You've probably heard of it. And I'm just wondering if you think that we should take this a little bit more seriously, maybe look into charges, conviction, and even impeachment.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I was sad that they dropped the case, but I hear that she had death threats against her, so it was too bad.
She talked about threats, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just wrong. I mean, he's a predator and he's a rapist, and I can't believe that people think that it's okay to have somebody like this leading our country.
What is this woman going to benefit from lying? I mean, he's already the president of the United States. Like, people who come forward with these kind of allegations should be listened to. They should always be listened to.
One of the issues that keeps coming up is a woman named Juanita Broderick, who has accused President Trump of raping her back in the 70s. You've probably heard of it.
Right.
Do you think it's time that we charge Trump, that we convict him and see him impeached?
I think that any legal action that we can take to legitimize the concerns that have been brought, this alleged sexual assault, would absolutely be worth pursuing. There's been enough of that brought forward.
Like Paula Jones, same thing.
Exactly.
If he assaulted somebody, then that's a crime and it should be impeached.
When anybody tells you they've been assaulted, I believe you. I don't care what anybody else has to say, I believe you. And everybody should believe you, and that's all there is to it.
We should always believe victims.
Do you think it'd be right that we look into this more seriously, that we possibly convict President Trump, maybe even lead to an impeachment?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody. I don't care who it is, and especially the President of the United States.
You know, there's Paula Jones as well, and he might be a rapist.
I would not be surprised. I am not surprised. I think that absolutely he is. And it's disgusting. I think we have a moral imperative as a country that values like human dignity to move forward with the impeachment process.
Wow, can you believe that? I mean, come on. They called him a rapist. They said they were repulsed. They wouldn't be surprised. They did say he was a rapist. They said, where's the moral decency? The man didn't even do it. It was a Democratic president. These women don't even know what in the world they're talking about. But yet, those are the same ones that are on Facebook berating everyone else. All you have to do is look at some of their spellings of their words. They can tell you their intelligence right there. Don't know even how to spell a simple word. But anyway, before we go to the break here in just a few minutes, I do have some breaking news here. It looks like that Donald Trump is going to have a draft. He's actually drafting, rather, another executive order. It will be announced shortly, probably tomorrow, and it's limiting Muslim entry into the United States. Every single thing that he has promised during the campaign, he has done more work in the past week, well, since he's been elected, than most presidents have done during a whole year. But it looks like he's going to block refugee admissions from war-torn country of Syria indefinitely, suspend refugee admissions from all countries for 120 days. After that period, the U.S. will only accept refugees from countries jointly approved by the Department of Homeland Security, the State Department, and the Director of National Intelligence. So the Director of National Intelligence, Homeland Security, and the State Department all have to agree to let people in from another country. Also, cap the total refugee admissions in 2017 at 50,000. That's less than half of 110,000 proposed by the Obama administration. The Huffington Post is reporting this, actually, by the way. Also, ban for 30 days all immigrant and non-immigrant entry of individuals from countries designated in Division O, Title II, Section 203 of the 2016 Consolidated Appropriations Act, that which is basically Iraq, Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. So, ban for 30 days for immigrants from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. Those were targeted last year. And then also suspend visa issuance of countries of particular concern, in quotes, after 60 days. And that's pretty vague. Also suspend the visa interview waiver program indefinitely and review whether existing agreements are reprived in practice. You know, he's making good on his promises. We'll talk a little bit later on in the show about the fence and the border and Obamacare. He's starting to roll back Obamacare. Now, you know, the Democrats say that they want all this health care for everyone, women's health especially. We just talked about that. But yet the Obamacare, it's unaffordable for most people now. $500 a month for, you know, a $15,000 deductible. That's health care everyone can afford, that everyone can receive. You know, you're better off to pay the penalty than you are to get the health care. You know, all the people they care about so much that actually need the health care can't afford it. So then they go more deeper in debt. It's such a sad situation. It really is. So hopefully some of these rollbacks that President Trump's doing will actually work. Because I'll tell you what, right now it's not working. Look in Arizona. They have one healthcare provider, as far as insurance goes, for the whole state. No one else will go over there. I don't know, guys. 646-200-3400. 646-200-3400. After the break here, we're going to have Dr. Larry Fedewa. He is a Washington Times columnist. We'll be right back after this.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio, I'm Kathleen Maloney.
No hate, no fear. Immigrants are welcome here, no hate.
Protests in New York City tonight after President Donald Trump's executive orders on immigration.
Ends the policy of catch and release at the border. Requires other countries to take back their criminals. They will take them back. cracks down on sanctuary cities.
The president outlining tougher immigration policies in a speech at the Department of Homeland Security, one of his executive orders focusing south of the border.
It was the central promise of his election campaign. And today, President Trump gave General John Kelly his marching orders.
The Secretary of Homeland Security, working with myself and my staff, will begin immediate construction of a border wall.
In cities and towns across America, it was a rallying cry for Trump supporters.
Fox's John Roberts, Mexico's president, is scheduled to visit Washington next week, but a government official there now says he is considering canceling the trip. A record-breaking day on Wall Street as the Dow hits a milestone.
The blue chip's journey from 19,000 to 20,000 points in just 64 days is the second fastest 1,000-point run in history. In 1999, the Dow traded from 10,000 to 11,000 points in just 35 days, according to data from S&P Dow Jones Indices.
Fox's Victoria Craig, the Dow gained 155 points, S&P rose 18, NASDAQ up 55, and those two also closed at all-time highs. Mary Tyler Moore has passed away at the age of 80. The actress and comedian best known for the TV sitcom she produced and starred in the 70s. Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
President Trump says he believes torture works. In an interview with ABC News, he says he intends to wage war against ISIS militants and thinks we have to fight fire with fire. But the president says he will speak with his defense secretary and CIA director to determine what can be done legally. Democrats are pushing President Trump to move on a campaign promise about the nation's infrastructure.
We will build new roads and highways and bridges and airports.
Seizing on President Trump's inaugural address reiterating campaign promises to repair the nation's aging infrastructure, Democrats unveiled a plan to spend $1 trillion over 10 years. Among other big-ticket items, Democrats would spend $210 billion repairing roads and bridges, $180 billion upgrading rail and bus systems, $110 billion improving water and sewer infrastructure, $100 billion to modernize the electrical grid, $75 billion for schools, and $70 billion for deeper ports, improved shipping waterways, and airports. Democrats hope 15 million new jobs will appeal to President Trump. President Obama's attempts at a so-called infrastructure surge were opposed by most Republicans because it would have increased the national debt.
Fox's Carl Cameron in Washington. Mississippi takes steps to strengthen laws against people who attack those who are first on the scene.
The Mississippi State Legislature has advanced a bill aimed at protecting first responders. The proposal would make it a hate crime under state law to target police officers, firefighters, or EMTs because of their job. The bill passed the Judicial Committee on Tuesday and will now be taken up by the state Senate. If passed and signed into law, the bill would take effect on July 1st of this year. In Jackson, Mississippi, Willie James Inman, Fox News.
Former President George H.W. Bush could get out of the hospital in time for the weekend. He's been treated for pneumonia, but a spokesman says his lungs are clear despite a lingering cough. First Lady Barbara Bush was treated at that same Houston hospital for bronchitis. Fox News Radio.
Aaron McCready.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post.
You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's great to have you along with us. If you're just joining us, you missed a good first portion of the show, really. We were talking about what Trump plans to do and then also the Women's March, the debates going on with that, and also the riots and the protest from really within Trump's first half hour of even taking office. But I am very pleased to have our next guest. I think you're going to really enjoy him. Dr. Larry Fedewa is a commentator on political and social issues of the day with over 100 columns in the Washington Times. He's been a college president and a longtime business owner, management consultant, and he's also worked with railroads, emerging nations, and labor unions, and with professors, managers, politicians, and teachers. Also, as a speaker, he's addressed international audience on both technical issues and current events. And this I find absolutely fascinating. He lives on an Arabian horse farm near Washington, D.C. And joining us close to, if not in, our nation's capital, Dr. Larry Fedewa. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
You know, I just want to ask you, you're there in Washington, D.C., and one thing that just blows my mind is usually the president has a honeymoon period. And we knew what to expect from Donald Trump. It really wasn't hidden through his election. And he won the presidency. And then, of course, we had the period between the election and when he was sworn in. But then all of a sudden, within the first half hour, all these riots are breaking loose and burning cars and throwing rocks through buildings. In Washington, D.C., what is the sense of all that? Or is it just, you know, is he despised by the Washington establishment so much that they're just giving that a pass?
Well, some of the establishment is starting to come out his way, namely the Republican Party. That is a big step, because if he didn't have the support of both houses of Congress, we could be having a very long 4 years. But other parts of the establishment are just absolutely appalled, and right now it's the turn of the press. When we think of the establishment, we think of the government and the bureaucracy and the lobbyists. But really, the heartbeat of the establishment, the telegraph lines and the railroad tracks, are really the press. And the press are very used to their role as being the arbiters of truth and the ultimate judges of whether things are good or bad. And right now, that whole thing is being challenged, and they don't like it very well. they think that they're being knocked off their big horse, and that's gotten to be a pretty high horse. So they are in the process of finding out that there are other ways of people discovering what's going on, namely the media, the social media, and all of the electronic digital things that are available. And boy, this is really knocking the socks off of these guys. Did you see, you didn't see Chris Wallace on Sunday, did you, by any chance?
No, I did not see him Sunday.
Well, Chris Wallace comes from a long line of newspaper people, and he just cannot understand the Trump thing. He cannot get his arms around it. And
Chris Wallace, is he that out of touch? Is he in a box? Is just in that studio? I mean, you know, the average everyday American walking on the street, you know, granted it took America by surprise when Hillary Clinton lost. But it seems like to me that the average everyday American, that went toward Trump. I mean, is he really out of touch with those people?
Well, he, like most of the press, they were astonished and appalled when they found out that Donald Trump had been elected. But they didn't really realize that he was also not only taking on the established political people, but also the press themselves. And Fox News has been more sympathetic and more empathetic to the Trump movement, really, than any other of the broadcast media. But there's still a lot of them that were just, they've been knocked off their pedestal, and they just don't know what's going on. Talk about the man in the street. These guys haven't been the man in the street for a long time.
Yeah, they're just part of the establishment. You know, those elected up there that think they have a lifetime job, I think. And, when Trump, one thing that I found very interesting about Trump on his inauguration speech was he got up there and he really, if you really listen to it, went right after the establishment, with the establishment sitting right there on stage with him, right behind him. I mean, I wonder if those folks thought, if once he got up there on stage, if he would suddenly morph into one of them, or if maybe they were wondering, oh my gosh, he is the real deal, and we've got something that we're really going to have to put up with here.
Well, they've all been telling him throughout the transition period, the press and all the other politicians and all the Washington pundits, they've all been saying, well, now that he's president, he's going to change, and he's going to do a pivot, as they called it, into being much more, quote, presidential. And that just shows they didn't understand the man. He's 70 years old. He isn't going to change for anybody. And he showed it there in that inauguration. In fact,
he sure did. And, one thing, too, that I found amazing since inauguration is, I mean, he hit the ground running with the executive order, starting with the health care to the border fence. I mean, their heads really have to be spinning right now that, oh, my goodness, this man is actually doing what he told the American people he would do.
Yeah, and I think that's really going to be his salvation. He's never going to win. His personality and his presidential presence, he's never going to win over the Nancy Pelosi's and the Charles Schumer's of the world, and also a lot of those people that are doing the demonstrating, most of whom really don't know very much about what they're demonstrating about. But anyway, he's never going to win them over. But what will win the people over is if he does what he says he's going to do and it's successful. You know, it's one thing is to repeal and replace Obamacare, but if you don't replace it with something equally or better, something much better, then that's going to be a Trump care, and it's going to be just as bad as Obamacare as far as the public's concerned. So he's doing the first thing. The first thing is you have to start doing things and not just talking about it. But then now the next thing, of course, is that what you're doing has to be successful. But
right.
he doesn't have to do that in the first 100 days.
Right. Do you think that with these executive orders that he has pretty much wiped out the Obama presidency? I mean, was that now with a Trump presidency, was the Obama presidency a wasted 8 years?
Well, I don't think you could say that yet. He hasn't really done anything particularly on foreign affairs, which is a very big part of the presidency.
Right.
He has a lot of ideas of what he wants to do, but mostly it's bargaining. And that's the interesting thing about about the press and Trump, you know, if you want to understand Donald Trump, you have to read The Art of the Deal, because that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's setting up a position that seems extreme and it seems very, very rigid. But in fact, what he's doing is he's setting up the position that he wants to bargain from. So saying, I'm over here, you're over there. Now, where's the middle? And until he starts having those conversations in earnest, we don't really know where it's going to come out. And he frankly doesn't really know either. He knows what his goals are, but he also knows that perfection is the enemy of, the enemy of the good is perfection. And so he's going to. But you know what's funny is. There's a columnist by the name of Fareed Zakaria, who is a Indian immigrant from who's very prominent in certain international circles, and he's on CNN. And he went over to China to see just what those people were thinking about Donald Trump, and he was astonished because, as he reported himself, They all liked Donald Trump, and he couldn't figure it out. He thought they were going to be scared to death. And they told him, as he reports it, that, what about all those bad things he's saying about China? And they were saying, well, he's just saying that because he wants to set up a bargaining position. We understand that. We're pretty good deal makers, too. And so he found out that the Chinese understand Donald Trump better than our press does.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't know if that's good or bad, but hopefully that will be to our advantage. I mean, they're more politically savvy than we are, it sounds like.
Well, look at what he did with China, though. I mean, he's talking really tough about China through the whole campaign. And then what does he do? He appoints the ambassador to China as Terry Branstad, who is... Mm-hmm. A very good friend of the president of China. So what does that tell you? That tells you that he's going to have a serious set of demands, but he wants a very friendly person to present them and to be able to be trusted by the opposition. So I think that's kind of his style as far as a lot of things, you know.
Like they say, you can attract flies a lot more easier with honey than you can vinegar. So maybe that's the position he's taking.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, he's taking the same thing with Russia. You said he's taking very tough positions with Russia, and yet he's saying, well, he thinks he'd like to see if we can't get together on some things. So what does he do? He appoints the Secretary of State, who knows Vladimir Putin personally, has dealt with him for years, and who is trusted by him. So, you know, the man is not stupid.
Right. You know, I think Vladimir Putin, he's similar to the Chinese. I think he is savvy enough to realize that, you know, we're doing the same thing, setting us up for a position, and, you know, all this talk is so we can negotiate better. I mean, plus, in my opinion, Vladimir Putin's had a run of the United States for the past 8 years with Obama. He's been Obama's been Putin's lapdog, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's definitely been leading from behind. I think he's not only leading from behind; he's running away.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier these protests that you really don't think that they know what they're protesting about, and you know, it's funny because the women's march that happened, I played a clip. It was actually from rebelmedia.com. A lady named Faith Goldie went out and interviewed, and she talked to these women, and she brought up the scenario, you know, what if a president did what Bill Clinton did, but used actually like Paula Jones' name, but then substituted Bill Clinton with Donald Trump. And these ladies were all over it, saying Donald Trump should be impeached and they pretty much were calling him a rapist. And, you know, and I found that interesting because you have all these protesters protesting something, and they have no idea the first little bit about politics. It just blew my mind to hear that from these women.
Yeah, that's a very interesting phenomenon, frankly. The women that I know that were there, for the most part, seemed to think it was a great, a lot of fun. They had a great time, and they're not abortionists, or they're not. I don't think they knew what the organizers or the people from the podium. They either didn't hear them, or they didn't listen, or they just walked away, or something. I don't know. It's just, and not only that, but there are a whole slew of different causes too. You had people that were there for for abortion, but you also had other people that were there for stray dogs and the climate and all kinds of different things. So I really think while it's the organizers are talking about it as an anti-Trump movement, I have my doubts that it had. I think it's maybe a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, that settles that one then. I mean, I think they had a lot of people there, but it was very shallow, the issues, because you know there's so many of them that they wanted to share. And the ones that had the voice, I think, really made the whole movement look pretty bad.
And that's, of course, who the press covered, you know. That's the only people a lot of the press covered, with the Madonnas and the actresses up there making fools of themselves. But there were a lot of women there that, you know, they didn't have anything. They're not mad at anybody. They were just there because they thought women ought to have, I don't know, they ought to be seen. Heard.
Right. Well, one question I have for you too is, what does Trump need to do to get Obamacare or our healthcare system back online now? Because it seems to me that, you know, the way it's going, you know, I guess the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and there are so many people that cannot even afford healthcare. They'd rather pay the penalty than get the health care just because they can't afford it. What do we need to do where we can afford health care once again?
Well, I've been writing about this for the last 2 or 3 years. I'm no expert on health economics, but I think that the way I feel about it, and this is not necessarily anything of the Trump's position or plan on this, but my view of it is the first step is you have to reduce the cost, and then if you look at the cost, the real cost of healthcare if you look at CMS's statistics, the biggest cost is the insurance companies. It's their overhead, and the next big, well, let's start from where it starts from. It starts from the employer. The employer has to pay the bill, so the employer at least half of the bill or some portion of it. And so he has to make more money in order to pay for the health care of his employees. And then who does he give it to? He gives it to the companies and the IRS, then so the insurance companies get it, and we find out that because they have to have 50 different bureaucracies to handle one for each state, there aren't very many national insurance carriers for the reason that the overhead is so high. And that's about, put that together, it's about 35% of the total cost. Now you've got the government that comes in, and they have another about 20-25%. So if you could get something that eliminates reduces the role of the government and the insurance companies and gets the employers out of the picture, you could do a lot toward reducing the cost of health care. And once you reduce the cost, then it's a lot easier for people to come up with the money. And if they were spending their own money and not just signing the insurance card, they are going to be a lot more frugal about how they, and we hope, what one would hope, wise about how they spend their money. So I wrote a column about what a free market healthcare system might look like, and I think basically you've got to get the large numbers of people on a policy. I mean, the group the idea of insurance companies is basically that they need, in order to reduce the risk, they need large groups of people, but they don't have to be people in a company. They can be people in a church or people in the neighborhood or friends or big families or credit unions are a good possibility. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there can be a lot of other groups of people that buy group insurance, and that right. And if you take down the state barriers and make it interstate commerce, then you've got people. All these insurance companies have to start competing with each other in every place they go. So. Mm-hmm. You reduce the cost. Once you reduce the cost, then you have the hospitals and the doctors, and that's about 25% to 30% of the total. Now you've got something that most people could handle if they had some tax breaks, you know, and the health savings funds and their own resources. And then for the people that can't afford it, no matter how cheap it is, we do have to have universal care, I believe. I think that's a necessity and a right. If it's a right, but it's certainly a thing we want to do for everybody in the United States in the 21st century. So right. I think you expand Medicare or Medicaid in the state at the state level, not the federal level, but the state level, and you make it available for those people on a very reasonable basis, and maybe for nothing. But I think that whole thing can be rethought in a vastly different and vastly more important, more valuable type of service. The final thing I want to say about it is, if you are going to spend a lot more federal money on the healthcare system, I think you should make a free tuition for anybody that qualifies to go to medical school, because the reason that we don't have any we don't have physicians and medical personnel today is because it's just too damn expensive, and the only people we have now are people that are foreigners that are coming in and taking all their training in some little place in Honduras or someplace, and then coming and doing a residency in the United States so they can qualify for medical license here. That's stupid. You know, we have a lot of people that would like to be physicians, but they can't afford it. I mean, it's $100,000 a year. So,
all right. And you go to medical school, and then you come out if you want general practice, and I mean, you're really making, compared to what you spent to get that degree, you're making pennies, really.
Yeah, well, and you know, we do it for military officers, and we have programs for athletes. I mean, why not for physicians, and even nurses and nurses too. I mean, medical personnel in general. We have a great shortage. There are whole areas in the inner cities and the rural parts of our country where there isn't a doctor, and they have a hospital that's all there. It's all equipped. And there's no doctor for 100 miles, and that's crazy. You know, we should really tackle that problem. That's part of the problem.
One question I do have for you, and in regards to this, you mentioned, you know, having a large group of people on an insurance plan, you know, whether it's neighborhoods or whatever. Do you think it can be structured as such. So say you go to your local bank and, you know, say ABC Bank or whatever, and you enroll in the insurance plan there they have, or you go to your local grocery store and they have an insurance plan. I mean, do you think we could get to a point where it's like that, so it lowers the cost for, you know,
sure,
everyday Americans?
Sure. All we have to do is say we're not going to require employers to do it anymore, and we'll open and anybody that wants to can go in and buy private insurance, and all the insurance companies have to understand that we're going to do, many of us are going to get together and we're going to have large groups to do it. I think that could happen in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe that's the way we need to go then. But, you know, I could go on and on and on with all about these issues, but I do have to let you go. But I really appreciate you being on the show. You're welcome back anytime. And thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. And we'll see you later. Have a
Sounds
good year.
Sounds great. Yeah, you too. Thank you. Well, hopefully I'll talk to you before a year's up.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Dr. Larry Fedewa. He is a Washington Times columnist, and I really appreciate him being on the show. So, you know, as we spoke earlier, you know, we really need to get involved in our government and in our country. We have too many people thinking that they know what's going on just by a feeling. Look at these protesters. The clip I played earlier, you know, the cause that they were trying to achieve, they ended up being their own worst enemy. Tomorrow night, we were going to talk about the executive orders that Trump is getting ready to issue. Looks like one's coming out to really, like you said, ban some of the Muslim population from being able to enter the United States. So, you know, that's going to be something that the left will be talking about for sure. And then also we're going to be talking about the border, what his plan is for that, and also health care. That's a big, big issue, as you just heard. Trump has some ideas for that. But one thing each and every one of you should do is write your elected officials. Be a part of this government. You hear me say time and time again that these elected officials and the president are like on a board of an organization, and you put them there. They need to be accountable for you. Hopefully Trump will live up to his word and have the power really back to the American people. It's a great country. It's too great for us to lose this opportunity to really, truly make America great again for Republicans and Democrats both. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Have a good one, and God bless.
Radio.